So we're in the studio, guys. It's Tall But True. I'm here with DC Benny, of course.
What's up, guys? Good morning, everybody.
And a good friend of ours. Tell them it's morning so they'll know.
Yeah.
When I'm like, what? Huh? Wait, what are we doing?
And this time it's morning. Yeah.
This time it's morning, yeah. Next episode, strangely, will be slightly later. We have in the studio with us another good friend, comedian, great comedian, really good friend for a long time.
Long time.
I can't even begin to list the things that you've done.
Doesn't matter.
We were just talking about this. We all have our own lives. I know you've
That's
been
right.
on Letterman repeatedly.
That's right.
I know Teacher's Lounge was a big thing.
A web series, yeah.
I thought it was awesome.
Thank you.
Check out Teacher's Lounge. I'm sure you can still watch it, right?
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Teacher's Lounge on YouTube is Ted's creation, his baby. The one thing he didn't do enough is feature himself enough in it.
Ah, thank you.
In my opinion, yeah. But I think it was great. It's Ted Alexandro.
Ted Alexandro.
What's up, guys? Happy to be with you.
In my house, I have to tell you guys listening how weird it is for me to, like, it's been separate worlds for decades, you know?
Yeah, like the Batcave, right? You get away from it.
Yeah. And now it's like when we're doing these tapings, I come down to my kitchen, I get a coffee, and I'm like, oh, hey, Ted. It's always DC. I'm like, DC's here. It's like world.
You feel like you're about to, I got to go and do a set in the other room.
Right. Totally.
Up by the aquarium.
What's up next? Who's got the 3 o'clock by the fish tank? We could do a festival.
Yeah.
We'll do a comedy festival at
the
my
Ben
house.
Bailey
Seinfeld comes by and bumps everybody.
Right. He's trying to bump me from my TV show, son of a bitch. He wants to host Cash Cab.
Man.
So, yeah.
But it is weird how to be, you know, we have these two separate worlds for sure.
Yeah.
And it's nice to retreat into your non-comedy world after the rigors of doing sets in the city or being on the road, where you kind of go back and it's like, it's peaceful to extract yourself from the jungle of it. But
it
here we
so
are.
Is.
You need that. Load.
Now, do you guys do this? And Ted, I know we talked about what we might talk about.
Yeah.
But don't feel like we have to stick to that too closely.
Whatever, man.
Whatever flows, we're gonna go with that.
Absolutely.
Know, we keep having these good conversations. And then we're like, all right, let's get in the studio. And then we're like, we have to talk about the one thing. So we're talking about whatever.
I like
right now, I like the idea of the two different worlds because, man, that is my life. Like, when I'm here, I'm either working or, you know, being a dad or I'm like doing yard work and stuff.
Yeah.
It's so different. Such a different life. Than,
and your kids are how old now?
My kids are 5 and 10.
Yeah.
So.
That's a big job.
That's real dad time.
Yeah. For sure, man.
And when they're, you know, they're here with me. Mm-hmm. Basically, if I'm home, they're here with me. Most of the time, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I'm on the road. So it's like one to the other and back and forth with very little in between.
Yeah.
And it is such a respite from the craziness of it. Do you guys try to recreate the little bit of that for yourselves in your hotel rooms on the road?
Oh, yeah, dude. I don't know about you go ahead, Ted, but I'm...
Yeah, no, it's funny because... You do need you. I don't know if it's OCD or just like needing a little bit of normalcy, but you do try to create whether it's the environment or even just a schedule. For me, I don't know about you guys, but the longer I've gone along in comedy, it's like, all right, I got to find a coffee shop to sit and do a little thinking and writing, reading, whatever. I got to get to the gym.
Yeah.
I got to find some place that serves more than like a hamburger, you know.
It's all very familiar.
You know, and
you need to be about 2 inches from that mic. Sorry.
Okay, all right, cool.
Sorry, man.
Yeah.
You need to make yourself conscious.
That's
I'm
all right.
thinking of all those people in every episode. I'm like, dude, get the fucking audio right.
Right.
I got sound guys
we
from
hear the
Norway.
Comments.
I'm like, I could help you.
Yes.
Oh, for fuck's
Tell sake. Alexandra to move back an inch.
You're crowding the mic? What the fuck?
Yes.
All right, cool.
But you do, you recreate, you have to have that schedule, that little regimen, you know, to make it. It also burns time, daytime, when you're not performing.
Sure.
You know?
Dude, how good are we at burning time? Like, if someone was like, you got 9 hours to see, you'd be like, all right, I got it.
Right.
Find the coffee shop, like you said. I do the same shit.
Or maybe I'm see like, something locally, right? Like a little museum or something like that people tell you, oh, you got to check this out.
I love it now. I used to not know what to do, kind of. With myself, I'd just be like, either I'm asleep or I'm working out or whatever. Now I'm like, I get to really be an observer here.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a comedian, we're supposed to be observers. We observe and report on, like, what the weird shit that everyone else is doing or whatever, you know. I feel like we really have a chance when you go to a small town or a place that you don't live. You can just like really get a look at how the people there live.
Oh yeah,
and then I try to write about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you,
and have something to open with or somewhere in the show to hit them. Like, I get it. I've been around your town.
But it's also the trick of, like, I don't want to say what the guy last week said.
Yeah. Totally. You know? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. What everyone talks about. I mean, certain places you almost have to.
Right.
Because there's, like, that one thing that's, like, you know, the elephant in the room of that town.
Yeah. You know? Or there are certain places where it's, like, you can't walk around. You're kind of marooned. And if you're not driving, that's how they... You know, there's not that much to see,
so you
can only interact within a small, observe within a small, unless you're like, you're making highway observations or whatever, you know what I mean?
You're like, I've noticed like, when you have the view of a clover
the Bob
leaf,
Evans.
Right.
The 28, where the 28 meets the 502, you're writing a bit about traffic patterns.
Yeah.
Because you've been sitting in your room watching cars all day.
You have to, you know, it's like you almost have to keep yourself from going insane a little bit.
Oh, for
you know,
sure.
There's that,
yeah.
That
yeah.
For
oh,
being
God,
in
yeah.
these, being in, when especially when you're marooned in those hotel rooms far away from everything and there's not much, you don't have a car or this or that, or even if you did, you know, the nearest thing, oh, you got to go about 7-hour drive. That's not much, you know.
Yeah.
But you have to, it's like you really got to, there's some times where I felt like I was kind of tweaking a little bit, like I got to, how many push-ups and sit-ups can I do with the Yellow Pages? And you know,
doing curls with your rollerboard suitcase.
Yeah, right.
You're like, oh, finally a road dumbbell.
Right.
This thing is perfect.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like one channel. You know, there's like and nowhere to. The other thing is when the food's bad and you can't find. You need to find a place.
That's
where you
the
get
hardest
a little,
part. I
yeah,
think that's the hardest
healthy.
Part.
Right.
Because
right.
It's like fast food, especially if you get in, you have a show.
Yeah.
And then you're done. And it was like travel, kind of racing to get there,
mm-hmm.
do the show, show's over, it's 11, you know, whatever, by the time you're done, and there's no...
Nothing.
There's nothing.
There's nothing,
Taco
yeah.
Bell.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's two fast food joints, and you're like, I try really hard to eat well.
Yeah. Yeah, you
if
make
I
those
eat
promises.
This stuff for 3 days, I'm going to feel like shit.
Yes. Yeah, and you make those promises to yourself, like, you know, I'm gonna take care of myself this trip.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, like, the sooner that promise is broken, you're like, I shot this
shit. Yeah, it's true. There's no going back once you go over, dude. I was just in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Junior's Last Laugh.
Oh,
I don't know if you guys
man.
Know that club.
Years ago I did that.
Yeah.
I just have started doing it for some reason. I never did it before.
I had such a weird experience, but I'll get to
it's
it.
Weird,
yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
There's a perfect one. Like, oh, can I make a joke about the name?
Yes.
Everybody.
Yes.
I just said it's good to be here in the first time. I said it's good to be here in Ohio. And this woman goes, wrong state, buddy. It's like a 7-year-old just yells it out. I'm like, you must be a teacher. And then I was trying, you know, I was like, dude, what do you say? The Erie bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was nowhere to eat late at night up there that I could get a decent.
Do they still give you the cat?
Not bad food, but like a healthy food.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's all
nothing.
Shitty food. But
right.
You try to find something healthy. That's the hard part.
Yeah, especially late at night.
Yeah. And score a salad.
Yeah.
That's not
well,
iceberg.
Well, that's a lot of places are there. Here's our health food. It's like a half an iceberg wedge.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a tomato. You're like,
with round in Thousand Island. You know.
Can't eat this for 3 days.
With Elmer's glue on it, right? Yeah, it's thick, pasty.
What were you going to say? Do they still
the limo ride like a block and a half? They used to pick you up in a limo from the hotel. And it was like,
that's awesome.
It couldn't have been more than 2 blocks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
No, awesome. Oh, from the condo.
From the condo, yeah.
Okay, I don't know. I stayed at a hotel.
Oh, okay.
And but I know the condo is still there.
It's close, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. I did this gig, like, it had to be over 10 years ago.
Wow. Dude.
And the woman who, is it a husband and wife?
It was then.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it had to be totally clean.
That was it, because this woman, and you know, I'm relatively clean, but there's some stuff that I talk about that's, you know, whatever, that's, you know, I did this, I don't know if
you
guys remember.
You want to say fuck once in a while.
Yeah.
Maybe not every bit, but you want to have it in your arsenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So apparently there was some sort of benefit for this woman who had lost her 4-year-old daughter or something. So she's like, don't do anything about kids. I'm like, all right. You know, it was an early show. It was a benefit. They had a lot of people there. I'm like, all right.
You're like, I have a new 40 minutes about
about fucking 4-year-olds. Yeah. Yeah. You're really...
Oh, my God. What am I going to do?
Really tying one hand behind my back on it. So I did a bit about Disney on Ice, you know, and it was just a bit that I used to do. And,
oh, my God, I couldn't be more curious,
you know,
about and, your bit about Disney on Ice. You got to do it at the end. I'm sorry.
I don't even know if I can remember.
I remember that
bit. Oh, it's Hunchback on Ice about why don't, you know, how they turn all their shows into, you know, and then that was the final thing. Why is there no Hunchback on Ice? Hunchback and you just turn ice. Just turn them over, and the swelling will go down. So that was.
I remember that. I knew there was a great bit in there.
So that was.
You said my Disney on Ice. So I the Hunchback over, the swelling will go down. Yeah. All right, that's it for today's show. Okay. Sorry. No, so I'm going to let you finish this.
So I do the bit, you know, and I get off stage and the woman is seething at me. She's in the green room and she's like, "What were you thinking?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "You did a Disney bit? I told you that there's a woman who lost her 4-year-old." I'm like, "What?" Didn't you think that would trigger? I'm like, "Honestly, no. I didn't think. Like, you know, that's just a
yeah, obviously, you know.
Yeah. Was the kid
I
a
made
Hunchback?
The decision, right?
You
know? The kid was a Hunchback.
Yes. Oh, you didn't God. Give me the full report.
The woman was a her husband was a Hunchback.
Yeah. So I'm like, "Come on, you know, I was like, you told me that the woman had lost her kid and I was sensitive to that, but I, you know, like maybe anything that I talked about could trigger a memory of her kid, you know?
Yeah,
like
anything would." Yeah. That's what I immediately thought.
You know? So, yeah. So I was like, so she was like seething at me for having mentioned Disney, you know? And I'm like, you know, "Look, I'm sorry, but, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Like, there was no malice behind it. The crowd laughed."
Right.
So, yeah, like it was just, I had a, you know, and the whole weekend was kind of like that because she was very like, just adamant about language and,
right,
you know, don't know, no cussing, no this, no
so
whatever.
So when you say the woman after the show, this is the woman who owned the
this
club.
Is the owner, yeah,
right,
yeah.
Not the woman who was in the crowd
no.
who had lost the
no.
kid, right.
Because it was a husband and wife that owned it at this point. The wife was, I think, conservative Christian and very particular about what you talked about and how you talked about it. The husband was more like, "I know she's crazy." Like, yeah. You know, he kind
of
stayed out of it.
Those teams
they are
like
still
that,
there.
Yes.
They don't own it anymore.
Archetypical comedy club owner team every once in a while would be like one really...
Good cop, crazy cop.
Yeah. I just dealt with that. I can't
Bad
remember the
cop,
club. I just dealt with
cop.
It another one. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so that
they
was
don't
so
own
memorable.
It anymore.
Okay.
Junior actually owns it
Oh,
now.
Okay. The guy
who was
name.
Part owner with them then.
Right.
Now he's the owner. They are still there almost every weekend.
Is that right?
They've been there every time I've done the club.
Wow.
And I'm, you know, I say fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not super dirty either, as you guys know, but I do
conversationally,
swear.
Conversationally, yeah.
In the last couple of years, my last special, I swear on it and it's dirty. Yeah. There's some ass fucking on that special.
Yeah.
Which some
any
people
Disney, any Disney stuff?
There's a little
ass fucking a Hunchback.
There's one instance where I'm ass fucking a Hunchback on Ice. Yeah.
Classic.
It's hard to
it's
get traction.
I'm trying to help you.
Yeah. That's right. His legs all splayed on the ice.
But they come to the shows anyway.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Even though not, you know, they're now they involved. Don't have any control over it.
Yeah.
And Junior the whole time apparently was like, "Don't do that. We're losing a lot of good comedians by making this rule that you have to be clean."
Yes.
They don't
yes.
have to come to Erie, and they're not going to if we put these, you know.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, that was uncomfortable, man.
Yeah.
It's really an interesting place anyway, man.
Yeah.
There's people that are working there. Like, if you I'll be sitting in the green room, and the door will open, and this woman, Carol, will be like, "Are you hungry? Did you want anything to eat?" I'm like, "No, I'm good. I'm like, "Are you sure? You want a banana or?" I'm like, "I'm okay. Thanks, Carol." She's like, "Because there's a lot of good food." I'm like, "Carol,
Carol,
it's like
now
young Frankenstein.
Scram.
Like, Ovaltine. Nothing. Thank you. Good night." But she's like so nice and trying to be helpful that you're like, "Just give me a little room."
Yes.
I found out this time she's a volunteer.
Oh gosh!
Yeah. There's a whole handful of people that work there,
right,
all the time that don't get paid. They're there because they want to be there. They're volunteering.
And election day is only once every 4 years, so she needs to fill. She hangs out at the voting station.
She's got to fill time. She's trying to slip a political agenda in with the menus.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Would the doctor care for some warm milk before he retires?
You know how it is.
Blücher.
Sorry. It is funny though, like at some of these BNC rooms,
yeah,
the chefs, Junior's, you know, in quotes, the cooks
broke
the
wide open. Junior's like, BNC rooms.
Well, you know, not to say no, because
B plus,
yeah, but I'm just, it triggered my memory to some of these BNC rooms where the cooks almost like want to impress you, like anything you want, I can, you know, you can even go off menu. Anything you want that, menu, yeah. that includes iceberg lettuce, right. ground beef, and cheese. Yeah. Let your imagination go.
Like you have all the possible combinations of the ingredients that you have on the menu already.
Nachos could be baked. Baked in nachos. You have an avocado? No
avocados.
Got a potato.
Yeah. Chip. Avocados don't last. You can't get them. They won't last from one weekend to the next. Yeah. So
right. Even if you freeze them.
Some of the clubs have good food.
Some of them do, yeah, for sure.
And Juniors, to give them a fair shake, I've had a great time there.
Yeah.
And those people have been really nice.
Yeah.
And come up and said, oh, you know, really very complimentary things about the show.
Yeah.
And I was wondering because they, you know, I was like, they have an aversion to the bad words.
No, I'm sure it's good. I mean, I'm just, you know, certainly my my memory was tainted by the Hunchback experience.
Yes, of course. Dude, one time I took Rogel to Atlantic City.
Greg Rogel
uh-huh. to Atlantic City to open a show.
Bogata?
At Harrah's, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Like a pretty big room, like 750. Pretty big deal.
Yeah.
We go down there. They send a limo up here to pick us up, and we ride down to Atlantic City from here.
Nice.
We go in. They get like they're giving us the royal treatment. We get these huge suites. We get this huge dinner with all the executives from the casino.
Wow. It's
this whole big thing. And then we go into the green room, and we go out, and we look, and it's packed, and it's like, oh, this is going to be great. Rogel goes up. I can't remember what specifically he said, but and we've had some, and this is what made me think of it. We've had like some minor, very slim guidelines about what we, you know, a couple things, like, you know, don't go too crazy with the language.
Because it's a corporate crowd or why?
I don't know why, just in general? Just because they know their crowds or whatever.
Mm. Sometimes the casinos, they get funky. Mm.
So yeah, Rogel is like, you know, don't try to pin Rogel down. He's going to rebel. So he just looks at me like, what the fuck? I'm like, dude, I don't know. I'm just hearing about it too, whatever. So he's like, I'm just doing my act. I'm like, yeah, just do what you're going to do. Don't worry about it. So he goes out. He says cunt at some point. He doesn't call someone in the crowd a cunt, right, but he says it. And I'm like waiting for fallout. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing at all. Then I go up. I'm up for about 15 minutes, 20 minutes. I see this older couple getting up in the middle of the room. They're standing up, and they're leaving. And they're walking. They have to go. The only way they can get out is they have to come toward me and then, like, make a left around this big table.
Around the microphone.
Did you lay into them?
Well, I said, oh, you guys are leaving? Yeah, I just got here. You guys are leaving? And the guy goes, we don't care for the foul language. And I go, Rogel said cunt. And I hear Rogel explode in the back laughing. And we never heard anything about it. Like, we didn't get any shit about it or anything. But I'm like, how did you made it through that? And I said fuck twice. And we don't care for the language.
It's cumulative, I think. You know,
right.
Yeah, I think you're right.
The last one.
He had all he could take.
Yeah. And there's a little bit of a delay with them, too.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You drop a cunt on him. 5 minutes later, it's going to be, you know, I don't care for this.
Yeah, you're right.
Should we get up?
Yeah, let's start gathering our...
Yeah,
gathering. Have you had that? Have you had people? They had a lot of stuff to pick up.
I had a...
He had all sorts of things on the table. It took him that long to organize his hearing aids.
I was at this club in Jacksonville. It was I think it's changed now. It's changed up. But the guy, the big thing with the guy, he was like, you can't say the F-bomb. And he wouldn't even say, you know, he said the F-bomb. He wouldn't say the word.
So you can say it here.
He's like, you cannot say the F-bomb. Don't say the F-bomb. And he's like, I was looking at your tapes, your clips on YouTube, and there's some where you say that. I'm like, dude, I say it, but I don't need it, you know, but it would be nice if I could say it, but, you know,
now
I don't
you feel like
it.
A drug addict trying to explain your addiction.
Yeah, like, you know, it's conversational.
I don't need it. I can get by without it.
Yeah. And he was just so adamant about it. He's like, and the funny part was, he's like, you can say anything else. You could say it. So I'm like, I could do an ass rape joke, or I could do a whatever. He's like, just don't say the F-bomb. He's like, it offends audiences. So it was kind of like a personal thing with him, right? Man. So, and this place was notorious for that. So we would come out and watch each show, right? And so I just changed it to like Froggin. I was like, mother Frogger, you know?
I was like, Saturday Night TV.
Yeah, and I had like, five minutes.
Stop this crud.
I had like 5 minutes of making fun of the fact that I couldn't say it. And people were like, say it, right? And I'm like, I'm not going to say it.
The crowd was taunting you.
Yeah. They were taunting me to say it because no one cared. He was the only one that cared about the damn F-bomb. And all the comics were like, you know. So I think it was the last show Saturday night. And I had a nice chunk of material about not doing it. I was saying mother frog or mother flower. I had all these like other words and everything.
Brilliant.
And I'm like, I think I'm at the 40th minute of the last show getting ready to close.
Oh, no.
And someone says, and I don't know what happened, but I was like, oh, fuck. And everybody's like, ah! The place goes nuts, right? And I look in the back, I'm like, oh, shit, is he back there? He wasn't back there. He had gone into the kitchen, so he didn't hear it. So I'm like, I'm telling everybody, I'm like, I said frog.
Don't
I said frog.
If he asks.
Right? If you see him outside.
But it was just for him. It was just for him.
The whole weekend and then the last minute of the last show.
It slipped out in an innocuous way, too. It wasn't part of a bit. I was like trying to remember something. Like, fuck, I can't remember. And they just, and people just, you know, there was so much tension built up around just ridiculous
dude,
policy, man.
It's so hard. It makes it so stressful.
Yeah.
I've been doing tours for the Air Force.
Yeah.
And just this last week, I was on a base, and every show has been great. I'm not trying to brag, whatever,
yeah,
but
they're,
it's
they're
just
great crowds.
Great.
Yeah.
They're great crowds. They're starred for entertainment.
Yeah.
They have to be well behaved.
That's right. That's right. Sure.
They could get rowdy, but they're kind of, you know, their senior officers are there. And
there's
like
a cap on it.
Yeah, there's a cap on it. Yeah. So it's been awesome. Yeah. But I have to be clean. Everybody has to be totally clean.
Totally clean.
Like, but it's just been great. And then last week, all the guys that work for Air Force Entertainment. So they're actually, I think some of them are retired Air Force. They're not actually in, but they are. The guys that work for the Air Force providing this entertainment and this tour and all that.
Like cruise ship directors or something.
Kind of. Yeah. But so there's three of them, and they look like, you know, they're like, one of them is like, just fell out of Broadway, Danny Rose, the guy. Like, I'm like, oh my God, look at this dude.
Yeah.
This guy's been in the business for so long.
Yeah. Myron.
Myron. Oh, dude. So you said Myron, that means you know exactly what this guy looked like. I'm shaking hands with these guys before the show, and I'm watching the people going in, and I just sixth sense go, uh-oh, this could be, they've been so good, and I just know the nature of things. I'm like, these guys are all here. This crowd is, there's something a little weird about this crowd coming in. I could just feel it. You know?
Yeah.
A couple people are really rowdy, and some other people come in, they're just very straight-faced, angry. They don't look like they're there to have fucking fun at all.
Right.
And then they come in and they sit in a weird line. They don't fill the room because there's some other giant function going on that night.
Yeah.
Way to go, Air Force. You're supposed to be organized.
Sit in formation.
So they sit like there's people along the front on the left side of the room, about three quarters of the way across, and then they just sort of go in a line off to the back right side of the room. And it's a really deep room. It's probably 150 feet to the back.
Yeah.
It's about half full with a weird little smattering of audience, this shape, you know? And something just starts tingling.
Just like the configuration of the room felt bad,
the
too?
The configuration was bad to begin with, but not terrible. Okay. But if everyone had been up front, I thought later, things might have been very different.
Right.
Instead of spread around the room. Anyway.
They probably did. They probably did it like a defense thing. A defense formation of like, all right, we reinforce the troops further
in case Bailey's a Russian.
Put the valuable, the high ranking officers in the back, and create as much distance between. But so these guys come and the execs come and they sit right in the front, and they're just sitting there staring, like the dude is just not laughing. And there's a woman, like two tables away from him, who just has a little retort. She's not facing me, but she has a little something to say at the end of everything that I say.
That's the worst.
The worst. Yeah. The people in the back of the room can't hear her, so they just hear my half responding to her. I can't just let her go.
Yeah,
because she's fucking, you know. And the mic goes out. For the first time ever, when the MC opener hands me the mic, it just goes dead.
Right from the start.
Right from the get-go. So anyway, I can't swear. And now I've got this woman who I finish a bit, and she's like, no, you didn't. That kind of thing. Like, oh, well, you know, and she just won't stop.
Is she in uniform? She's one of
No. Okay. No. She's a civilian.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just the being in that situation and not having the full arsenal of what you can say.
Yeah.
I was like, this is horrible.
Yeah.
I can't just be like, shut the fuck up. Yeah. I can be like, shut up.
Yeah. It's not even amplified.
It's not quite as good. It doesn't hold the same.
Yeah. Myron?
shushing her. I wish I had Patrice there. Do you remember when Patrice would shush people?
Yes.
And he was so loud, the loudest that everyone in the whole place would get quiet.
Yes.
Oh, that was the best. But so I had to like just kind of outfox her, I guess, and kind of trick her into not talking.
Yeah.
And it worked, but like, it was, you know, it was halfway through the show before it like started to be a good show. Like,
right.
I hate it when you are restrained as far as what you can't say. And so many gigs want you to do it. I'm sure you guys have done corporate gigs. Colleges are that way sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I did it at college, and it was, I got there and they were like, don't say this, don't say that. And I'm like, yeah, they always say that. And then the kids want it and then you don't worry about it. But this was a Catholic school, and the Jesuit priests were in the audience.
Oh.
You know, there was about six or seven of them in the, you know.
Jesus.
And meanwhile, these kids, they want it dirty.
Yeah,
they're shouting stuff for dirty.
Well, that's
these guys
the thing. When you said that first, I say the kids want it, but you could still get in trouble.
You get in trouble.
Right. And not get your money.
Yes.
Fuck getting in trouble.
Exactly.
We're all beyond getting in trouble.
The check.
The payday.
But you might not get your fucking check.
Right.
Yeah. So go ahead. So
it was like, and these kids were screaming out, do dirty stuff. We want dirty, whatever. And I'm looking, I'm seeing the guys with their sandals and their cassocks. You know,
it's like picture name of the rose. From the Dark Crystal.
It was like
chanting throughout the show.
It was so. And I'm like, and they wouldn't. Of course, they were not laughing.
Weren't laughing at all.
No, they were. They were there just monitoring. But it was like you need six guys. You can put one guy, and maybe he goes out and gets a soda or something.
Right.
But and I was newer to it too. I was newer to doing the colleges at the time, and it was just like, you're cobbling together your hour, and there's gonna be some jerking off jokes in there and some stuff like that.
Yeah.
Sure. So I'm like, oh man, I don't remember why. I kind of made fun of and actually there was a jail show, the Brooklyn House,
really?
On Atlantic Avenue, which. Here's what's
great. I think
about
I watched
Brooklyn
that
House.
Show.
It was me in the shower.
The Jesuits were not in that one. Yeah, right.
What was great about the Brooklyn House is it doesn't really look. You don't really know it. It's a holding facility.
Right.
So
still operational.
Operational.
Yeah.
And here's the best part.
So there's guys being held there and you're doing a show for them?
Well, you look at the place, there's like retail on the bottom. So there's like, they're going to put it in a Starbucks and it's the most bizarre.
Wow.
It's so good. Right on Atlantic Avenue.
Wow.
So, I did it with this guy, Buddy Hackett. Babe Hackett.
Oh, yeah. I remember that guy.
Not Buddy Hackett.
Buddy Hackett. That would have been great.
That would have been awesome. Yeah. Babe Hackett.
He's doing Viagra jokes to a bunch of guys that are locked in cells.
Right. Babe Hackett was a a correctional officer. So
I would have never remembered that guy, but I remember him now that you said his name. Did you ever meet him, Ted?
I don't think so.
He looks like a 1940s kind of dude with the like hair pomade kind of thing, and he's like very cherubic face, like kind of like he looked one of those angels, you know, or whatever. Nice guy, really nice guy.
Like a Mississippi Burning type of look, like the
1940s. Like a nice Mississippi Burning.
But like a nice one.
Like a nice, you can sit at the counter.
Yes,
if you took John DiResta from the 70s to the 40s.
Sure.
You could sit at the counter, sir.
Yeah.
Don't matter. Come on in. You want soda?
Ray Garvey. I don't know if you guys
remember Ray Garvey.
Yeah. So Ray Garvey, ex-cop, club owner, irascible dude, like a big drinker.
Irascible tough
dude.
Guy.
Rest in peace. Yeah, tough guy.
Rest
tough
in
Irish
peace.
Guy.
R.I.P. They Ray Garvey.
Tough, don't come tougher than act. I remember being at Borgata when he booked Borgata. We're sitting at a bar. Yeah. And he's fucking reaching in to the where they have the chopped up fruit and just taking it and beating people in the head with like lemons and
we're
shit
at the
like
bar,
that at the bar, at the Borgata. Yeah, I'm like, dude, what are you doing, man? Just beating
Garvey
people.
Was That's a tough son of a bitch. Yeah.
He's the kind of guy, and I can say this from childhood straight through to adulthood, that immediately starts calling me Teddy. Hey Teddy, glad to have you here.
Hey,
you know,
Teddy,
I guess
that's gonna be.
People do call me that, but he like takes it upon himself. Like from the second he meets me, Teddy, happy to have you. Come here, sit down. Let me talk to you. Get you a drink. You know,
tell you how it's gonna be.
Yes,
he's the boss.
Yes,
dude, I was there. I did the Borgata when Ray Garvey was there with Corey Ellie and Rich Franchese, and he mispronounced both of their names the whole time. He was like, give it up for Pete Coryell. Pete Coryell. And then it's
a great like, mandolin.
A warm welcome for Richie Franchese. Richie. And Franchese would just be looking at me like,
is he ever going to?
I'm making faces on a radio show, but he would just look at me like, there's nothing to be done.
Right.
He's just going to call me Richie Franchese no matter what. So I'll just leave it.
All right. Well, so you go to the Brooklyn House.
And, back to the Brooklyn House, the holding cell on Atlantic Avenue, where they do a show.
Now, each floor is different. They delineate by the crime committed. So I come in there, and I remember it was me and Ray Garvey and then Babe
Hackett
is going to host it. And Babe had, at the time, Clinton was president. And there, that cigar thing had just happened. So Babe Hackett has this idea that he's going to come out with a giant dildo and do a Clinton impression. He does a good Clinton impression. Then at the end of it, he's going to whip out this giant dildo. So he's got it in his hands.
Oh,
and he works at the jail, right? He works at the jail.
He works literally there?
He works there. Yeah. And so he's organized this thing. And it's like, I don't think it went too well the last time. So like, you got one more shot. So he's like, I got this idea. This Bill Clinton thing, it's like topical. The inmates are going to love it. And he's got this, you know, this plastic schlong in his pants. And he hasn't told them, right?
So I can't imagine being on stage.
And it was so
with
awkward.
Knowing I was going to do that at the end. Just that feeling is so like, what?
I can't imagine being excited that I have that.
Yeah.
Like, no. Wait till they see this.
He was like, oh, I can't wait to do this thing.
That's hilarious.
And it was funny because you have to go through these security things. And I must have looked like somebody in there. Because, like, I get through one security thing, and then I'm walking along, and it's holding, so they don't have the uniforms. They're in their street clothes. So I'm in street clothes, and some of the guards come up, what are you doing? Where are you going? You get better. And I'm like, no. I'm a comedian. I'm here to entertain. I'm not, so I had to be detained a couple times going in, so that was... That was really weird. So then
they're like over the speaker, like, where are you going, inmate?
Yeah.
Yes.
Inmate, where are you going?
Yeah.
I'm a comedian. I'm just here to.
And we're in this, so we go into the big room and they're like, now listen, they're like, here's what's going to happen. He's like, everybody sits like a cafeteria. It's like, there's like the black Muslims over here. There's the Puerto Ricans over here.
The comedians.
The pedophiles over here, whatever.
It's a comedian's table.
Right.
There's like three guys that you know sitting there.
In high chairs. And
dildo on the table.
In high chairs.
And they're like, don't say, you know, don't get them riled up. That's what they kept saying. They're like, don't get them riled up. And they were like, now what happened is based on who behaved this week, that's who's allowed at the show. If they misbehaved this week, like if there was a riot on the floor, like whatever the word is for thieving, like the larceny floor, you know, those guys, right. they really misbehaved, so they're not allowed.
They're not allowed.
But the fucking rapists are coming down, and the guys accused of murder are coming down. Like, shit. So it's going to be the rapists, guys accused of murder, and then somebody, it's some other innocuous, I don't remember what the crime was, but like some bullshit, like shoplifters or something. I don't know what the fuck it was. So it's like this weird mix. And then within that, there's a mix of like the different, you know, the Oz groups of the way, and then there's the COs, the correctional officers, like right. in a U shape
around everybody.
Wow!
So holy shit,
it was bizarre.
Dude.
It was so bizarre.
This inspired Jeff Ross's new special.
That's right.
Right. Yes. Right. So
this
you go
gig,
up.
He was like, "I'm gonna shoot something here."
But they
I
were.
Can't believe he did that. His balls.
And you make fun. You know, so we do. So Babe Hack goes up. We warn him up. Blah, blah, blah. There was a girl on the show. I forget who the girl was.
Like, oh, my God.
That's a bad idea.
Could it have been Carrie Caravas? I don't
was
remember.
Was it Peaches Rodriguez?
It might have been Peaches Rodriguez or Carrie Caravas. I don't remember. But they were just
I'm sorry,
like...
Mariette Peach.
That's right. That's right. That's going way back.
That's way back, yeah. Right.
He's teaching popping now, by the way, as well. God bless. He was in Beat Street. Was in the movie Beat Street. But it was anyway. The point of it, not to make it a long thing, but the point of
no,
it was,
go
it was
ahead,
just
dude.
Really,
this is insane. This they, picture you've painted is
all
amazing.
All they wanted is insults. They didn't. Right. All they wanted was insults. So you know, there's a way to do it where you can kind of get away with it a little bit.
Right.
So Joey Gay was on the show too.
Oh wow,
Joey Gay.
He was the girl.
Yeah.
You sorry, Joey. It was just about the writing. Yes. My name's Joey Gay. I'm fucking gay. Right.
So everybody's crushing, though. Everybody's crushing. You make fun of the guards. The guards are like, make fun of the inmates, and the guards start laughing. What happens is they'll laugh at the, but they won't laugh when you make fun of them, but laugh at the. So it was great.
So it was going well?
It was going well. Yeah. It was going great until Ray Garvey goes on. Rest in peace, Ray Garvey. Ray Garvey goes on, and his, you know, his shit was. It was, first of all, he says he's an ex-cop. So immediately everything gets quiet.
Of course. Right.
Right. And then he's like, I used to bust fucking Puerto Ricans over to fucking whatever you think. Oh, you pulled a fucking car over, you know. He's like,
to the Puerto Rican table.
Oh, yeah. Hey, wait a minute. You know, the sound of box cutters. You know. And he just, it's like everything was at a dead, it was quiet. And then there was all this mumbling from like the Muslim corner. Like, come in, he's not going to come
Jesus.
Out. And all this shit.
Yeah.
So that. And he ended up closing it, and it left it on this weird, weird. So Babe Hackett comes out after that. It was like, how about that Bill Clinton whips out the dick, has the cigar, walking around with the plastic dick hanging out of his pants. And it was the most, it was the strangest, it was so strange. It was just the strangest, strangest thing. And then after that, I think I talked to him a week later. I mean, we got out of there. It was like there was something was going to happen. I don't know what was going to. We got out of there, and then I talked to Babe. I think a week later, he's like, "Yeah, that was the end of the comedy show." I was like, "In a lot of trouble for the plastic." I don't understand. why. I thought it was such a great. It's a
don't get him riled
thing.
Up. Don't get him riled up.
Don't overthink it, Babe. You always trust your instincts. You were right. You were right to try it.
Oh my God, dude.
Oh, it was bizarre.
I love that the show just takes a turn.
Oh, it
and
was
goes
going
south.
Great. Yeah.
And Babe Hackett is still going right with.
Oh, it was the nail, the final nail.
I'm
in
going
the
right with
yeah.
the fake dick yeah. to close it out.
And
he
it's perfect.
He was pull it out, you know, dig it
right,
out.
Right, right. And it's perfect too that Ray lacked the self awareness.
Yeah.
To fucking don't do your stereotypical bullshit about being a cop and
he
the Puerto Ricans, you know?
Yeah. He didn't get, it was like it wasn't even there. It was like it was in Pips in Brooklyn or something.
Yes, it would have killed,
Puerto
right?
Rican table over there.
Yes.
Look at him over there stealing, they're stealing his silverware over there,
right.
You know? And
dude, I feel like we could do the whole thing about Ray Garvey. There's so many stories. I did this movie, it was a different name then. It's called Don't Shoot the Pharmacist.
I remember that movie.
I play a pharmacist on a graveyard shift at a pharmacy in that's open all night, 24-hour pharmacy in like Coney Island, and we shot Steve Burns in it too.
Yeah,
and he plays a kid who's trying to be a comedian, and He has an audition. He has an audition scene. Well, no, just kidding. Just kidding, Steve. Comics are so sensitive. You've got to throw in a, hey, it's just a joke. He shoot a scene where he's auditioning, and it's at Pips. It's where they're shooting it, because that's where we're out there. So that's the first time I met Ray Garvey.
Yeah.
So I'm brought in there, and I'm the lead in the movie, right? So they're kind of bringing me in under this guise that I'm this big shot, even though I'm not, and it's and the movie's a low budget, whatever. So Ray is very curious about who's this guy, Ben Bailey. And
break his balls.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he comes over to me, and I've never met him or heard of him or anything, and I'm just standing there in this little sort of cordoned off spot where I have to hang. And he comes over and he goes, it's the first thing he ever said to me. He goes, you know my friend Bobby the Animal, the 11th strongest man in the world?
Let me think. It rings a bell.
And I'm like, what? He's like, the 11th strongest man in the world. He's a guy, he's a reason that dwarf tossing is illegal in the state of Florida.
Dead serious.
Totally dead serious. Yeah. I never met the guy. I'm like, what? I'm like,
breaking the ice.
At first, I'm like, I got to get away from this crazy. And like a minute later, I'm like, this is really interesting. Like, right. I'm like, tell me about Bobby the Animal, the 11th strongest man in the world who made dwarf tossing illegal in the state of Florida. I want to hear more. So he tells me the whole story. He threw the guy out of the ring into the seats out of the ring, and then that was it. No more dwarf tossing, but only in Florida.
Right.
So I ended up hanging out with him. That was where we wrapped, and I sat there. We sat and drank.
Yeah, he's a drink.
At Pips, closed afternoon Pips at the bar with, you know, no one in there but us for a while.
I mean, the guy opens a conversation with a stranger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking about that.
Yeah.
But he opens a set in front of criminals doing Puerto Rican shit.
It's like he should have switched those. Oh, the comic brain of Ted Alexandro.
Exactly.
Flip those around, dude, and it's brilliant.
Two standing O's.
You're so right. Is that the weirdest thing? I just remembered that.
Oh, man.
That's what he said to me. And then he stood there and hung out with us the whole day.
It was fun to hang out with you. Just
he was so very entertaining.
The after when the drinking, there'd be that 19th gin and tonic, and that's when he turned the corner.
Yeah,
and
it
was like, you know, he would get a irascible.
And like even if you're the one hanging out with them, you were like, it could be me who ends up getting into a fight with this guy.
Yes,
and you don't. Yeah,
and he looks like I could hit him about 500 times before he would fall down. Like he just was a solid dude.
Yeah. Garvey.
Yeah, those kind of guys, like, you just realize, all right, this guy is going to dictate how the night goes, and I'm just going to be in the orbit and try not to piss him off. You know?
Path of least resistance with all that.
Isn't that funny how those, once in a while you want a night like that?
Yeah, it's fun to be around those.
But it doesn't come when you want it. When you feel like that, you're like, there's no adventure out here at all.
Yeah.
And then another night, you're like, I just kind of want to go to bed. It's like, oh, now I'm on this roller coaster of... You know,
that's so
I'm in
true.
Like a hotel suite in the middle of the night. I don't know anybody here except for this one dude.
Yeah. You know. And you're gauging, like, how soon can I tell this guy I'm leaving?
Yeah.
You know? I need to get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Or when it's time to get paid, that's the other thing. If he's the dude, that was always the thing. Or it's like, all right, you just hang out here, have a couple drinks at the bar, and you're like ready to go home. I got to sort some shit out in the office. Just, you know,
hang out. Just keep drinking.
Yeah, just keep drinking. I'm like,
I'll be back here.
Yeah, suddenly the guy's
erasing
like.
And rewriting.
Yeah.
The guy's the most responsible businessman.
Right.
His to do list, just, you know, I got a bunch of things I got to sort through before I pay you.
Before I pay you.
That's what I really.
Delineate the budget.
The more drinks I give you now. Yeah. The more I can fudge these numbers. I had a guy was in Hilton Head. Hilton Head Island. There used to be a club there called Coconuts.
I remember, yeah.
Yeah, years and years ago. And that guy, first of all, he fucked me on the money at the end of the week. But another thing that he did was he would be like, do you need a beer? Every night. Do you need a beer? Do you need whatever? Sure. He was keeping a tally. and billed me
at
the end of the week. Here's how many beers you had. Here's your food.
Oh.
Taking it out of the... I'm like, oh, my God,
that's
some
bullshit.
You got to be kidding me.
Here, take two beers.
Yeah, you have two. Yeah. Have four. Have 12 beers. They cost me, you know, 40 cents.
Wow.
But on the bill, on your bill, they're $4, you know.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. That guy is a piece of shit.
But here we are now at such a different, sort of different time in our lives than those days.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know,
yeah.
Where, like, shit's kind of changing all around.
Now
you know.
I get beers half price.
There you go. You made it.
Yeah.
It's true, though. But, yeah, things have changed.
But, like, Ted, so there's some stuff going on with you, right? I mean, like, you're getting married.
I'm
right?
getting married, yeah, yeah. 48 married. Years old and getting married, man. Yeah.
That's something.
Which, to me, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
That made me immediately think of your old joke.
Right. Which joke is that?
The one where you're like, I'm single. I'm
42, single. Never married, no kids.
Never married, no kids. And your friends are like, are you gay? And you're like, did you ever...
Oh, that was an even older joke.
Yeah, I thought 42 was too late. I thought it was like 30 something.
No, because when you started, I thought you meant that I more recently did a joke. I'm 42, single, never married. I did it. I made it through the maze. Like that was the accomplishment.
Yeah, I remember that one too now. But yeah, no, I was thinking of the
that was
the
in my
prequel.
20s. Yeah, the prequel. I had a lot of stuff about being single. Yeah, I used to do a joke. I guess it was probably like mid to late 20s, you know, 20s, whatever,
wow,
seven.
That's longer ago than I even thought, but yeah.
Yeah, 27, single. People ask me, so what are you, gay? Which bothers me, not because I think there's anything wrong with being gay, but yeah, you know, Batman, Superman, they were single. You ever think of that? I might be a superhero. Maybe my love for this great metropolis supersedes whatever petty need I have for intimacy.
There it is.
Once it gets back in the brain, you got to say it.
Dude, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that last bit is like, to me, that's your comedy right there. Like, so quintessential Ted.
Thanks.
That little bit at the end is like... Maybe my love for this metropolis.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just the best. People are already like falling over, and you're like, I'm going to hit you.
There's more.
There's more. You're going to laugh harder than you are now, and you're not going to be able to breathe.
And it's even funnier when Ray Garvey does it. My love for this fucking metropolis.
What do you think? He would just go out. That's another thing. We might as well be honest. And this episode is called Ray Garvey. DC spit up his green tea. Oh, it's going to be a banner day here in the studio.
Ray Garvey,
he was one of those guys who would like, he would sort of lift your stuff from you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
On the same
show. He would
show
tell you he liked
you.
It.
Yeah.
Before you left town.
On the next show. The next night.
Yeah.
But he would, you'd be like, all right, I can't do that bit tonight, I guess. But. You wouldn't be like, I'm going to kill this guy. What the fuck? For whatever reason, partially because he was such a tough guy, but also because he never got it quite right.
He did it. Yeah.
The bit. He would do it, and it would be like that bit. He would have been like, what do you think? I'm gay? I'm a fucking superhero. I love this town. You know? Maybe like, what?
Ray, I don't mind just stealing my stuff, but you got to get it right.
But yeah. let me put some bullet points in.
But that was my strategy with him. He'd take it, it wouldn't really work the same way. He'd be like, why the fuck doesn't it work the same way? And it's like, well, you're not doing it right, but I'm not going to tell you how to do it.
Yeah, he'd almost come to you and ask you why your bit didn't work. Right. I did your whistling bit. That's what he did. I can't remember what my whistling bit was. I could see he wanted to come and ask me about it. Why didn't it work?
Yeah, it worked for you.
Dude, he did this bit of mine. I'll never forget it. I still do it, but about my Jewish wife is black, blah, 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 and something about the sex life and our ethnic backgrounds coming to the sex life. The other night, She was like, fuck me like a Jew. I was like, what? So I took her to court, right?
So right, I remember that.
He loved that bit. But he I saw him try it three different times. Like, take a fucking Jew to court. And it was him, this big Irish dude, saying it. And it just every time. So he stopped doing it. It didn't work. And he's like, right. You know, and we're in the, and it was at his club
so
in Pips because he
funny,
would.
Dude.
Oh, it was so funny to see his version of it.
And of not, your bit.
Of my bit and not figure out, well, the reason I'm doing it is because it's an autobiographical thing that I've given a lot of lead up to, potentially could be very offensive.
Yes. The setup is...
You're a big Irish dude. You're not married to the lady. It makes no sense. You're like, I'm fucking this black hooa. And,
right.
Take it to court like a joke.
So I took it to court like a Jew. Yes. Let me... that didn't work. So I was whistling.
Yeah. Right.
And so I'm not gay. I'm a fucking superhero. Good night, everybody. Yes. Fucking right. You know what? It speaks to how much we must have liked the guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man,
that we still hung with him and everything, you know, he was trying to steal our fucking bits.
I mean, yeah, those are the kind of guys that, like, they're the stories that you take from those years of stand-up, you know, like, because there's a certain part of it, like you said, it's a job, you're getting paid, this is the guy who's paying you, but the other part of it is, like, I know this is going to be an interesting night, you know, the stories that you get with those guys.
And he liked, the thing was, he liked you. If he liked you,
yes.
It was part of his way of showing affection was taking one of your bits, you know, like, it was kind of like, he put an arm around
you
your
so
shoulder.
Much, I'm going to massacre part of your act tomorrow night.
Thought you were funny.
You knew you were good when he was massacring your bit.
I'm really in with this guy.
But I used to love going to Pips, man. I loved that club. That was
Pips was legendary, right? It was there for
37
years. Is it still there now?
Before the boom.
It
closed, no, it's not there now.
Yeah, arguably the oldest comedy club in the States. Arguably the first one.
Which makes
apparently.
It the oldest comedy club in the world, doesn't it?
Yes.
Probably, yeah.
But I think somebody else said there's another one, but I believe that was it. And Woody Allen used to go through there. And I mean,
right,
the
they
Dice,
were
everybody.
Garvey and Woody Allen grew up.
Yeah.
They were neighbors.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's in a bunch of Woody Allen's movies.
Yeah, he is.
I saw, you know, Ray Garvey does this great.
He plays an Irish cop.
Yeah, always.
Ray Garvey does
his
a great.
His lines are always just a little off.
Ray Garvey does a great bit about a moose.
I shot a fucking moose, and it wasn't dead. I sold some insurance. I won a prize. What the fuck?
Because there was some fucking Jew in the moose
That's
outfit.
Right. There's a fucking Jew in there, and now he's in the club.
New York Atlanta club. What the fuck?
Oh, that is so funny.
That was one of Ray's original bits.
Woody stole it from him.
He was doing Woody's jokes in the, you know, in the lot at recess. He was stealing Woody's bits.
It was some great times over there. Some great times
Dude,
over there.
One time I was down there doing the Borgata.
Oh,
and I had to do the whole week.
Yeah.
At that point, I had to do...
Which is Sunday to Sunday.
Sunday
it was like
to...
Right. Eight-day week.
It was to the end of the month.
You're here till we tell you could go home.
Yes.
And that can be brutal. Some people are like, dude, it's a dream. You're at the Borgata for a fucking
It's all
week.
Old people who lost money.
The third
really.
Day, you're like,
I mean,
kill me or get me out of here. I can't... There's nowhere to go. It's one of those like we were talking about earlier.
Yes. It feels like you're walking through depression.
Yeah,
like as you walk the floor of the casino.
The windows are sealed. You can't open them because people jump out on their when they lose their money. So that's why all the windows are sealed.
Yeah.
There's no clocks.
There's people in wheelchairs with
breathing things. And
with breathing apparatus.
It's fucking depressing. Man.
And what do you call the? They've got IVs, and they're just sitting there. The part that killed me was when I would go to bed. I would drink at the B bar with Ray until like 3 in the morning. And I go to bed. And when I got up at like 11, the same people.
You would see them.
Oh, yeah.
Are still
smoking.
Sitting at the machines, smoking, gambling.
Drinking.
Just like, oh.
Yes, yes.
But the worst is when you go around where they catch the people who lost all their money, who have no money, who didn't drive there. There's a bus that goes there, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
And it's in the back. And it's like this shitty, Port Authority miniature area of just depression and failure and like, oh, holy fuck, what are we going to do? There's people like out there shivering, chain smoking, and they're, you know, they lost. Oh, man, yeah. It's so,
yes.
Woo, man, those casinos.
That
this,
picture yeah. of that should be in the brochure.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Right? It's the opposite of those commercials they show.
It could be like
show.
This. Or it could be like this. Yes. You could have nothing left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But one time I was down there and Ray, and this is the story that I was referring to earlier. Ray was like, yeah, my friend's going to come by. I can't remember that guy. He's like, my friend's going to come by. He's going to take us out. We're all going to go out later. I'm like, okay. makes me a little nervous. I don't know the guy. Just knowing Ray.
Right.
Sure enough, this dude comes along. We all go out. We get in the back. He's like, we got a limo and everything. We get in a limo. It's like a really old, crappy limo, but we're riding around a limo. Like,
so
whatever.
Skeptical when yeah. people use the word limo.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so yeah. they take us to a suite party.
Yeah.
At like at one of the other casinos. And we go out as like strippers. It's like a bunch of big fat dudes in sweatsuits sitting around
oh my God.
On couches.
Yeah.
And there's these like unattractive
strippers.
Whores. Really dancing around in the middle. And the guy's like, comes up and like hits me on the shoulder. He's like, you fucking owe me one, right, bro? And I'm like, oh, shit. And that's the night when I was like, this is not the night. Like, there are times when I'd be like, all right, this might be interesting and fun, this kind
right,
of thing.
Right.
That night, I just wanted to not do anything.
Yeah.
But it was Ray.
Yeah, you can't
Ray
say
Garvey
no.
was like, come on, we're fucking going out, you know.
So yeah.
we went out.
Oh, man.
Nothing too crazy happened, but I just remember at that moment, you fucking owe me one, right? I was like, oh, I don't even know this guy. I think he's connected. Now I fucking owe him a favor. I'm going to end up delivering envelopes right. for the fucking mob. Like, this isn't part of the plan.
Wow.
And this was like somebody's living room?
Was in a suite at like Caesars or you know, one of the other casinos.
Very
in
classy.
AC. Yeah.
So
it was a major step down from the Borgata. Wherever we went, we're like, oh, this place is...
Yeah.
This is pretty seedy.
Yeah.
Dude, another time, I thought of another fucking Ray Garvey story. He invites me. He goes, tells me how much he likes me. We had a good time hanging out. One night he goes, tomorrow, he goes, come up to my suite. We'll have breakfast up there on me. I'm like, okay. So I go up. I take the elevator up. I go to the big suite at the end of the hall at the Borgata. I don't know if you've ever seen them. They have these, their ceilings are like double height. Nice big living room, yeah. dining room, kitchenette kind of thing, a huge bathroom and a separate bedroom. It's a nice suite, right? That's
yeah.
where Ray is living.
Right.
At
oh,
that,
yeah.
At
oh,
that
yeah.
time.
Which is so funny that
yeah.
he's like, breakfast on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the place that I work.
At the
that
place
I
work.
Get breakfast for free.
Where I get breakfast for free. Yeah, yeah, totally. My treat.
Yeah. You owe me.
You owe me. Now you owe me and you owe that guy.
The strippers.
Yeah. You're never going home. You're going to work it off. But so there's not that much to this story except that he calls me and says, come on up. You know, it's like it's pretty late. We had a late night. We're having breakfast like around noon. I go up to the suite and he goes, pretty nice, huh? Right. As I'm coming through the door, I'm like, I'm sniffing. He must have just taken the worst shit in history. Like, the paint was peeling off. It smelled so fucking bad in there.
Yes.
I'm like, did he set this up? Like, I'm going to take the
check
world's
out the
worst
bathroom
dump
yes.
and blow up this entire suite. Like, he made the whole fucking suite stink. And then I had to sit there and eat breakfast with him.
Oh. Let's eat in the bathroom.
Yeah. I'm just going to stand outside the door and eat.
It's more intimate.
Oh, it was horrible. I don't know how he did it. It's a four-room suite
yeah.
with 30-foot ceilings.
It might have been from the day before.
Yeah, right. A week before.
Rays.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, there might have been. Fish for dinner last night? Remember that? What was that? Kentucky Fried movie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
right, right.
Yeah.
Having trouble with household odors? The woman's like, Harold's still smoking those cigars? People are coming over, fish for dinner last night, and then the woman comes in and goes, Christ, did a cow shit in here?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot, man.
I can't believe so many Ray Garvey stories.
Well, I did Borgata once with Corey Ellie,
Wow, Coryell must have been his favorite.
Oh, yeah, Coryell, I believe.
Pete,
yeah,
he loved Coryell.
Yeah.
Pete Coryell. He didn't bring the mandolin, but he came out. And he's like, hey, man, I got some shrooms, right? I got some shrooms.
Oh, shit.
And that's not my thing.
This is Pete that said
it? Yeah. That's not my thing, you know? And it's just not, I don't, you know, smoke a little weed and have a little alcohol. But that shit, I don't understand. Everybody tells me it's fun. You eat them, and then you just laugh. That's the thing.
Right.
You eat them, you laugh.
Yeah. Unless you eat too much.
Well, so he's like, come on. And I'm like, all right.
Then you throw up, and it's fucking horrible.
Well, see, that part, I didn't know. But Pete's like, sell him. He's like, hey, sometimes you feel a little nauseous from it, but then you'll be fine. So he's like, it's the heads of it, so it's not it's less potent or something. He's like, I got them from Rogel or something like that. It's just that. So he's like, eat these cap. So I'm like, okay. So eat this mushroom cap or whatever. And we're down in the casino area.
This is like before a show, after
this
a show?
After. Okay. I couldn't. Yeah, and I figure, okay, I got a day to work this thing out in order to be fine. They said it lasts in a couple hours or whatever. Oh my God. So all of a sudden I feel really nauseous. We're both feeling really nauseous. And this was when Ray was sitting there. He's sitting at the
throwing fruit.
He's throwing fruit at people at the Borgata.
At strangers.
Like people are like, you know, old people on the fucking machines. Like ding, ding, he's throwing his like in a wig. There's a piece of lime. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like big dudes, you know. So we're all
dude,
of a sudden
I would have been laughing uncontrollably at that.
Well, I started laughing.
I know
laughing.
It's stupid, but that's so fucking funny
that's
to me.
Perfect.
But it's also like someone's going to come over here. Right. And I told him, I was like, someone's going to come over here and kick your ass. But he's like, I'm a fucking cop. What are you talking about? He's like, I do this all. Look at it. Bam. He's throwing another. Look at this cherry over there. Bam.
I'm a cop. That's part of the job. Yeah. You get to flick fruit at people.
So we both feel horrible all of a sudden. So
you and Pete.
Pete, I just want to say, soaked was, yeah,
I just want to say people are like playing the thing, looking for three cherries and like fucking literally cherries are literally hitting him in
fucking there. Cherries bing bing oh it's a triple
where's the money
you finally won
oh shit
here's some lemons oh it's hilarious
well we're both feeling nauseous
so you and Pete suddenly so are like
so
uh-oh.
We're sweating, feeling nauseous like uh-oh so we run to the bathroom and then I was just dry heaving for a must have been 45 minutes. It was the worst.
Oh,
it was the worst. It was horrible. Ugh. So now I walk out of
Ray's
the bathroom.
Ray's there throwing fruit at you yeah, while you're
we,
throwing
we
up.
We just left Ray because we didn't tell him what had happened.
Oh, right,
I'm like,
yeah.
You don't want to tell the guy, the fucking ex-cop that's the booker of the place that
right.
You're at, that you're tripping on shrooms. That's not good. I mean, it was just young, stupid shit. So, you know, so we come out of the bathroom and all of a sudden we're like, we got to get back to our rooms where it's safe because everything's like, ning, 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 wow, and it's like melting and whatever.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Oh, my God. We went back to Pete's room, and I thought I was going to die. I thought, I was like, this is it. I'm going to die. And Pete's having a blast now. He's in the mirror like, look at my hands, man. Look at my hands. I'm like, dude, I'm going to fucking die, man. I'm dying here. He's like, you're not that. Look at my, his hands. And somehow I got back to my room. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna die. I had my phone. I'm like, I'm gonna call my wife. I was with an old ass cell phone, and you know, back then it was newer. And
right.
I'm like, I'm gonna call her. I got to think of my last words. So then I'm like, I should probably call Garvey and tell him that I'm gonna die. So I call him.
That seems like a good idea.
It seemed like a good idea at the time. Yeah. Like maybe I should go to the hospital or something. And he's like, yeah, what's up? I'm like, Garvey, man. I ate some shrooms. He's like, where the fuck did you get shrooms? And I'm like, from Coryelli and I. And he's like, what Coryelli? I'm like, Rogel, because they came from Rogel. He's like, fucking idiot. He's like, you fucking idiot. And I'm like, dude, I think I'm dying. He's like, you're not dying. He's like, you got to lay there. You got to ride it out. It's going to be a long ride for you. He's like, you're not dying. You're going to be fine. Just lay there. Ride it out. Don't do nothing because it stirs it up even more. And you'll be fine. Lay in the bed. Look at the ceiling. Think nice thoughts.
Wow.
And you'll be fine. He totally talked me down from thinking I was dying.
Dude, that's amazing.
And the next day, he's just, you know, to show, he's like,
so unexpected.
Fucking shrooms, you fucking idiot. Fucking idiot.
That was it was horrible though. That was the worst, one of the worst decisions. Like, what a horrible place to do an unfamiliar drug has those kind of properties that I didn't really.
And you knew it was going to be bad even before you did it. I mean, you were kind of skeptical.
I was skeptical, but Pete kind of talked me. He's like, "What are you talking? Don't be a pussy." It was a total like after school special. Don't be a pussy. You know?
Pete was a bad guy in an after school special,
and Pete has
listen,
a version of it.
Drugs aren't cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I learned it by watching you.
Never again. But that was my other.
Was he helpful at all when you were freaking
Quayle,
out?
I have to say, was not helpful at all.
he was enjoying his own trip.
He was having a great time in his own world, and that was ruining his buzz. But he got the positive thing. I got that, like, shit, I'm going to die. He's like, get out of here.
That's what I remember of that story.
Yeah.
As you told me what your side, and then I talked to Pete, and he's like, fucking DC, man. We're trying to have some fun. Yeah. He fucking thinks he's dying. I'm trying to have a good time.
Yeah, it's totally what it was.
Well, you didn't help him at all?
No, not at all, dude.
He's
not
like,
not
what? 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 He's just like, he didn't understand the idea of helping you.
No, it wasn't even that. He was into his hands melting in the mirror and how good it felt. And I'm like, oh my God. You know, it's starting to get religious laying on the bed. Like, what the fuck did I do?
Luckily, Ray talked you down, man.
Ray talked me down,
of
man.
All people.
I just thought of another Ray Garvey story.
Ted's got
to... do you have any... we'll get to... maybe we might have to talk about what we were thinking we were going to talk about next time, I guess.
Yeah,
we're
man.
Pretty far in,
of
but
course,
this has
of
been
course.
Good.
But we got to get Ted.
But this is great. This is great.
We got to get another story out of Ted.
Yeah, we got to.
You better come up with a Ray Garvey story.
Let's have a Ray Garvey story, too.
Ray Garvey introduced me to my wife.
You too?
It was a trip, an acid trip.
We were walking... me and Ray and another comic were walking through the Borgata, and some guy who was at the show, this is after the show, we were out by the club, there's a huge queue to get into the club, and we're going in VIP, like they're going to just bring us right in. And this dude comes over and gets kind of right in our faces. Hey, you guys are pretty good, man. Pretty good.
Right.
You guys are pretty good tonight.
It hurts me to say it, but...
Yeah, exactly. That kind of that guy.
Yeah.
You guys were pretty good. And he goes, I could do better. I could definitely do better. But you guys were pretty good. And Ray just looks at him and he goes, how strong is your chin? He stares at the guy in the eye and says, how strong is your chin? Like, because I'm about to break it. And the dude just went white.
Wow.
He was this big, tough dude, and Ray said that to him, and he saw a fucking ghost.
Who talks like that, right?
Yeah. It's so
some
mysterious.
Old West shit, man.
Yes.
How strong is your chin?
Once upon a time in America.
The dude was like,
he skipped like four steps.
Yeah. Gasped and just left. Like, that was it.
Yes.
And we were like, okay, nice work, Ray. Scared the shit out of that
I'll
guy.
Remember that one.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a female that doesn't like my after the show, you aren't very funny. As strong as your chin, you who?
Did you ever do the music box, the Borgata?
Yeah.
I figured you must have.
Yeah, I did it with Ray. You know, because I don't know if he always emceed it, but
yeah, I think sometimes he wasn't.
Yeah, he emceed the week that I did, and it was a lot of. You know, I went to St. Francis Prep High School in Queens, so
right.
a lot of those type of Ray Garvey type of guys.
Oh yeah, there's.
They either knew like people that I went to school with or people that worked. There was also a lot of cops that came out of that.
Yeah.
So there was
like
that world. There's
a type.
There's a type.
Guys.
And
yeah.
Ray was like, oh, Teddy, you went to St. Francis Prep, you know. And like, meanwhile, I'm not that type of guy, but he immediately, like, Teddy, hang, you know, you're my boy, you know. And I'm like, all right, I guess I'm your boy.
get in a fight.
Yes, yes.
Maybe we'll get laid.
Yeah.
We'll kick the shit out of a couple of guys.
I'm really like the opposite of your boy.
Ted's like, I was going to have a red wine and take my notebook out.
That's
maybe do some right.
Is there a coffee shop in the Borgata?
Coffee shop, a little jazz.
Ray's like, we're going to get in a fucking fight.
That's right.
We might kill somebody tonight, Ted.
Yeah. You know one thing that's great about Ted, though, that we didn't even touch on was Ted fucking Ted and Maniv organized the comedians to do a union,
the
man.
Union.
A long overdue.
Well, the coalition.
Comedians
coalition.
We were
not a union.
New York Comedians Coalition.
Coalition. But
that's right. You guys, man, that's we should
how
do.
How impossible was that task, you know, to do that? You know,
yeah.
You fucking I mean,
that was huge.
That was big.
I mean, I'd love to see the numbers of, you know, showing how much more money we've all made collectively as comedians because of that. Since
you know,
then.
Somebody told me, I don't know, I mean, if it was Ross, or it's millions.
Dollars. Yeah.
Because I think it had been $50 that comedians were being paid on weekends.
Yeah.
Right.
Since the 80s.
Yeah.
And we got it up to first 60, then 75, then some clubs went as high as, you know, now the seller is 100, 125. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean,
some of them went to jumped to 85 after the 75.
Gotham, I think. Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, it was this incremental thing, but it's like you say, it's been millions of dollars over the decades now.
Yeah, it would have still been $50. It might have even lowered. Knowing,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Some of them, right? Yeah.
There are some great stories from that.
Yeah. The meetings of the coalition?
We had big meeting. There was like a couple hundred of us.
Yeah.
At that one place. I think it was the Writers Guild, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it was great. Dude, I felt like a union boss.
Yes.
I was like, these clubs have been fucking us in the ass for years. And now's our chance.
Attica. Attica.
I was like, oh my God, what are we doing? This is crazy.
Yes.
But man, that was awesome. Yeah, you guys were balls out on that, man. That was great.
Did you get any like pushback from the club? Did you get any blackball shit from any?
I did. Yeah, I got blackballed from the cellar and from Caroline's.
Wow.
I wasn't working there for a few years. Now, mind you, you know, I was like maybe 10 years into my comedy career, so it wasn't like I was a regular at either, but I was working at both of them.
Yeah.
And then they stopped.
And then it stopped, yeah.
Was that true for Russ?
Russ,
Buddy Bolton. He was on the board.
Yeah. Buddy was very involved.
Shalhoub
Tom Shalhoub
did a couple presentations.
Yeah. PowerPoint.
At a Republican convention.
That's PowerPoint.
True.
Yeah,
that's true.
Okay, everybody, let's talk about winning. We're like, oh my God, Shalhoub.
Yeah, he's great.
He brought in the barbershop quartet.
That's right.
But you spearheaded, man. You were like the dude.
Yeah, you
man.
Guys were. Well, you and Russ, thanks. Were the
you know what
the
happened?
Pillars of the coalition.
Yeah. Actually, I had done a petition in 2001 that I wrote up, and I got 100 comics to sign that. That was pre-coalition.
2001, that was?
That was 2001. Yeah. And then Russ called me up in 2007, I think, late 2006. And said, do you want to do that again? You want to revisit the pay issue? Because, you know, there was a lot of grumbling.
That's right. I remember him telling me this now, too.
And honestly, when he called me, I was like, I don't know if I want to do it again because I got some pushback the first time.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. It was kind of pre-social media, too, the first time I did it.
Dude, and also, just to note, in 2001, 100 comedians was like all the comedians.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Everybody.
Yeah, because without social media too, you weren't that connected to the whole community. It was like just people you saw.
Now that's just
so many less comedians. By 2007, 2008.
Now that's just a story.
That's true.
Yeah, now that's just a story.
That's true. I would have just had to say, meet me on the corner of.
That's just the scene in Peoria now.
That's very true.
Comedians and every, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah. So when Russ reached out to me, I was a little reluctant because I knew it was like a full time job, even that first time. And I physically got the signatures. I would hang out at the Starbucks near the comic strip or Ben's Pizza by the cellar. And I would just let people know I'm going to be there between 8 and 10 or whatever. And people would come and, you know, usually in droves, it would be like 5 at a time or whatever. They'd come and sign it. I remember Tracy Morgan blew in with like 20 people. It's like, yeah, I'll sign that shit. And then like everybody's just like,
where's the union?
Yes.
I'll write my name on a paper. Yeah. So I've never done an impression of Tracy Morgan until
that's
just
perfect.
Now.
Not bad.
Yeah. So it went from like, you know, all of a sudden it went from like 60 signatures to like 80 in that one thing. And then it wound up being like 110, 120, whatever it was. So the money went up. I think that time it was from 50 to 60.
Yeah.
And then Russ, maybe 6 years later, said, do you want to revisit this? I was kind of reluctant, but I saw that he was all in, I was like, okay, let's do this. Because I just knew it was still very much, I don't know about you guys, but I was so angry about it. Like just when you walk into those clubs and you know you're getting taken advantage of and you know how well a lot of them are doing.
Yeah.
There was this real anger that I felt and I think a lot of people felt.
Yeah. I felt it for sure. So, my anger came more when other comedians argued the other side.
Right. Yes. Right. And
I'm like, what are you guys?
Yes, there was a fair amount of that. Of people,
some of them were like, "I'm, you know, we're lucky to be working here."
They give us a platform.
Yeah. And I think that what I hated the most about it is that it was all rooted in fear of not getting work or whatever.
That's right.
Of having it taken away.
It's so hard to get in, and then it's like you don't want to rock the boat if you're.
Which is understandable. It's fucking scary. It means everything to you.
Sure.
And you're kind of putting it all on the line to, not kind of, at least, but.
Yeah. No, so then, we did it, and it was great, man. I mean, looking back now, it's one of the things I'm proudest of. It seems like a long time ago now, but it was like a great kind of coalescing of, you know, all the relationships you have, all of the friendships towards like an end that really matters, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And has made a huge difference in a lot of people's lives.
Yeah. Guys don't even know about that now. There's some young guys that they don't even know about that.
Right.
That happened.
That's right.
That's why we make as much money as we do.
More.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep that in mind next time there's some young guys sitting around at the cellar acting like they're the shit.
Right.
I'm like, you know why you're making as much money as you are? You motherfucker. Because we all fucking risked it so that we would.
Yeah.
Because it was scary there, you know?
It was a lot of, it's like, are you going to cross the line or who's going to, because it's just like you said, on one side are the guys that they're putting it out there, they've got something to lose, and other guys, this is an opportunity to get in.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, exactly. Here I can really secure my spot. And there was a thing that happened in L.A., like back in the 70s, I think, right?
Which
Letterman was involved in it.
Somebody
and there was the same
suicide,
stuff.
That's right. Yeah.
Someone committed suicide?
Comedian Tim... he was in the sort of in the thick of it.
Yeah, Tom
had to do with the Comedy Store.
Oh, yes, he got blackballed.
Shame that I'm
after
blanking on his name, but Tom actually he came
funny
with
dude.
An S, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
he was a regular on Letterman. Letterman would have him on every year. Tom,
I must have seen him. I watched Letterman religiously early on.
Yeah, but anyway, so this veteran comic, he came and actually spoke to us at one of the meetings. Not at the Writers Guild, but at AFTRA.
At AFTRA, yeah.
He came and told us about their efforts in the 70s to...
Is that where Sue Costello had a meltdown?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
My father was a union boss, you fucking assholes!
It was so fascinating, right?
The
emotions
that...
Like,
oh, my God.
And Todd Lynn was like... It was at one of those... Todd Lynn was like, man, this is some bullshit. What about the money? What about the money? It's like, all right, one thing at a time. What about the damn money?
Yes, you know? Yes.
But so that guy came and spoke. That's
Tom
right.
came and
that.
Spoke and told us about the experience in the 70s of organizing the comics in L.A., who I think were if not, they might have even not been paid at all.
Yes.
I think they were not getting paid at all, and they ended up getting $20.
That's right.
A spot.
Right. Yeah. But it really kind of tore apart the fabric of the... And I think like Jay Leno kind of was on the club owner's side.
He was on the club side. Yes. I heard the same thing.
All that kind of stuff, right? Yeah.
But Colin was on our side, right? The, you know.
Yeah,
Quinn was in there.
We were lucky, because guys like Colin, like physically showed up, Dave Attell.
Yeah.
There were people and
the bigger name guys at
the time
got on board.
That's right.
It made all the difference.
It made all the difference because then we could kind of go down the line to even the open micers and say, look, we really need, this is going to benefit you guys in the long run.
Yeah.
So we need everybody to kind of be behind this for it to work.
Don't be a scab.
Yeah.
We're going to hold out and you can't go and do sets.
And if you guys remember, it was Valentine's Day, I think of 2007, that we were threatening to strike.
Yeah,
and
I thought it was New Year's.
It was Valentine's Day
because
we targeted that because it was like a big date.
Oh, it's a big
date
night.
Weekend.
Yeah, you know? And they charge like four times as much. Yeah.
Exactly. And you
so
know
it's
who
a
was
big night for them?
Yes, the last holdout was Al Martin, who had two or three clubs at that time.
Yep.
And what I think finally turned him was we told him that we had gotten an inflatable rat that we were going to put it out in front. And we also had the New York Times interested in doing a story, so they were going to cover.
Right.
So I think he finally realized, like, oh, these guys are organized and they're real and this is legit.
Yeah.
So then he caved and, like, everybody came up at least to 75 at that point.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then I think I remember feeling like we gave in earlier than we needed to, maybe.
Yeah.
Because they might have come up again, but then being like, you know what, we we did it.
But it wasn't. Yeah, it was a
we've
victory.
Done it. It was a huge victory.
You can always feel that thing of like, how long can we hold the troops? Like, yeah. Because you know there were yeah. people like, you know, yeah, fuck like, it, take the 70. Like, you know, so it's hard to it's hard to kind of keep everybody.
I think
together.
It was executed pretty much spot on.
It was excellent.
You know,
man.
It was really good.
People don't
there were some hilarious that. Moments in that.
It was so funny.
Do you remember the meeting at the Friars Club?
Yes.
Where we sat down with
the five
the club
families.
Owners. Yeah. We brought the five families together. Oh, there's some big laughs. What's his name? Kerry Hoffman. Right? From Stand Up New York.
Yep.
He goes... He has the floor. There's a whole table of us comics and club owners sitting around a long table. He's at one end. He stands up. He goes, anybody that knows me knows that I'm an honest guy. The room erupts.
Fell out.
Like he just finished the biggest stand-up bit of all time.
Yes.
Just huge, uproarious laughter. And then finally it quiets down and he goes, that wasn't a joke. And we were laughing again. Yes, it was. Yes. Nobody thinks you're an honest guy.
Yeah. It's like you're used to talking to us one at a time.
Yeah.
You know, we're all together now, and we're not taking your bullshit. You know,
that was so fucking funny. Hilarious. Yeah. And then Noam from the Cellar, he goes,
Noam say?
He goes, he totally, in a rare moment, like showed his cards, showed his hand a little bit. I'm sure he still remembers it and that goes, what was I thinking? He goes, you guys are complaining that you don't make any money. He goes, but if snowstorm hits and on a Friday night and I lose 40 grand and it's quiet for 10 seconds. And then I go, you make 40 grand on a single Friday night. And everyone's like, oh, poor Noah. I was like, no, That's not what I meant. Some of those little bits, moments, I think, helped with the shifting. It kind of made them have to address, like, okay, I'm making a shit ton of money.
Yes.
And these guys that are sweating it out
here's
not
50 bucks.
Yeah, right. Not seeing. And to an extent, that's the nature of it.
Yeah.
And that's how it was for a long time.
And to Noam's credit, he's the guy that now, even unsolicited at times, has continued to bring it up. He is a guy that I respect in the sense of, like, he looks at it from both sides and realizes the nature of the relationship. Like, if the comedians are happy and we're doing well, you know, he says to me all the time, you know, if we're doing well, like, I want to take care of the comics. So a guy that, like, has that awareness, that's half the battle, you know? And a lot of these other guys will never broach the subject at all, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but all those little moments were very telling of, like...
They were,
Because it was an education for all of us.
Yeah, and they definitely played into the outcome of it.
For sure.
Because it really revealed how lopsided it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, you know, without the comics...
Right.
What do you have?
Yeah.
And, you know, and, like, they have a great setup, the best.
Yeah. For sure, yeah.
But if we weren't going in there and doing it, you know, then they would very quickly...
Well, I remember saying,
if we shut off the faucet...
That's right.
They're going to be...
It's just a bar.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember saying to one of the owners, what would you say, the comics that work your club, would you say they're the top 10%, 20% in the country, in the world? He's like, probably top 1%. I'm like, okay, there you go, top 1%. What other field is the top 1% basically walking home with, like, a meal stipend that's gone by the time you get a meal and a cab or go over a bridge or whatever, pay a toll? You know, like, we're making, like, intern money. The top 1% in the field. You think a doctor is still getting paid what he was paid as an intern?
Yeah.
So, and also
it's
I said,
really,
I,
really good point.
I also made the point of, like, I'm tired of doing these benefits for my colleagues who die in their, you know, as young men.
And then I got to
take care, you know, God bless it, I'll do it forever.
Yeah.
But why do I have to take care of these guys who are, like, among the best in the field?
Yeah, we're not boxers with head injuries, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like that fucking lost
or
everything.
Or NFL players.
That's right.
Or whatever.
Yeah. And the reason that they don't have health insurance or the reason that they maybe even are sick in the first place is because they don't have insurance, you know?
They don't have insurance.
Like,
they can't
afford
it. They're not covered.
Can't you connect the dots?
Own.
Right, right. So don't tell us, like, how much you love us and how much we bring to, you know, like, you have to demonstrate, like that if we are a family and all this stuff, like, and you know, we feel it as comics, you know, especially as we come up starting, you know, 20 years, 25 years that we come up together. But, you know, the owners have to show that too, that if it is that we take care of each other and it is a family. And I believe that some of them truly believe that.
Yeah.
But
I do too, yeah.
But I made the point of like, look, I'm just tired of doing these benefit shows for people who die broke that are among the best in the field.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not right.
Yeah.
It's a tragic thing in the community. And I remember talking to another sort of avenue of this. I remember talking to a musician who was playing, and he was like, that's terrible. I'll tell him about that. Because people in the real world don't know what you're making. They don't know how little money you make doing
this. They don't,
at the best clubs, you know, in the city. But he's like, I'll tell you something. The way we have it, we're so disorganized as musicians, we don't have anything like remotely like that.
I remember this came up.
We have to bring people. It's like they have bringer shows, you know, so we're paid based on bringing people to the show. If you don't bring people, you know,
you don't make
anything. You're fucked unless you're at the highest level but like musicians on a level where they're, you know, they're national headlines, but they're not signed to a label or whatever. They have to bring people to these clubs. They got to fill the club and then they get paid.
Yeah.
So it's on them. And I think maybe, you know, that's a rough way to go too. You know,
sure.
So the fact that you were able to, you and Russ, also just to organize comedians. I can't get two guys to meet me for steaks.
It's so difficult. It's so difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's like musicians do.
Yeah.
Well, you know who we could have used in our union, in our coalition, would have been a strong figure. Ray Garvey.
Yes, Ray. And if he brought the 11 strongest men in the world along.
Yeah. Bobby the Animal. You know my friend Bobby the Animal? I think we got to wrap it up, you guys. We ended up talking a lot about Ray Garvey, but some really interesting stuff, being great clean, stuff. Being on the road, and separate worlds and all that. I think it was a great show.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was great to have you, man.
Great to be with you guys.
You're a great dude, man. We fucking love you, bro.
Thank you, brother.
Check Ted out. You got a website?
TedAlexandro.com.
TedAlexandro.com, just like it sounds.
That's right.
You got any gigs you want to plug?
You know, I'm doing a bunch of stuff coming up with Gaffigan. So like,
Jim Gaffigan?
Yeah, we'll be doing, if you're in the New York area.
Do you have to bring a lot of wood to the shows?
I have to bring wood. A show.
I like wood.
Yeah, that's right.
You can open for me, but you bring wood. And hot pockets.
That's awesome, though.
That's fucking great, shows, dude.
Yeah, we're doing
that's gotta be a lot of fun.
We're doing the Beacon in September.
Sweet.
And a lot of stuff leading up to that. Yeah, and obviously I have my own my own gigs, too. So, yeah, my schedule's on my website. But the Gaffigan stuff is always fun because, you know, I mean, I'm not going to be playing the Beacon Theater unless I'm opening for him. So,
right.
Yeah.
Not yet.
That's right.
Not at the moment.
Yeah, not at the
moment.
That's
great, man.
Yeah, yeah.
For both you guys.
It is great.
Awesome. So check out Ted's website, TedAlexandro.com. You have a Twitter handle?
Same thing, @TedAlexandro.
@TedAlexandro. And go see him, guys. He's hilarious. He's a great comedian. You have to listen.
Top 1%.
Top 1%. I'm going to give him health insurance. Yeah. All right. That's it for this episode of Tall But True. Thanks for listening, guys. Check out TheRealBenBailey.com. I'm Real Ben Bailey on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can find everything about me on those places. DC Benny.
DCBenny.com. Real DC Benny on Instagram. And the Twitter is, I think, the same thing. I always forget, but you'll see it.
You'll find it. Yeah, it's out there. Thanks for listening to Tall But True. Come back next episode, Greg Rogel, when we're going to ask him about those mushrooms. See everybody.